Hey, Chip.
Hi.
You seem a little stressed today.
I am. It's, I guess I can go, well, I guess, yeah. Do you're, I sound stressed or what?
Yeah, you can't even speak. Would you like me to give my update first?
Yeah, you give yours.
I know what you were thinking through, so we'll get back to yours. He's already worked out the transition into the topic, folks. We're so pro over here that's already worked out.
Planned way ahead.
Well, I'm sad to say that my update today, I mean, we're recording early because you are leaving town tomorrow to go to OnSite, which we talked about a little bit last week, and you will get into that in just a second. But so we're recording early. It's Tuesday in Nashville, and it's pouring because we're getting there. Residual effects of Hurricane Ida. And sadly, that's my update. You know, I'm from Louisiana, and it's just so devastating to me anytime these huge hurricanes come through. And it's just, I don't feel like, unless you've lived through it or seen the devastation of a flood and like lost everything, that you can fully comprehend how destructive these things are. But it really is so, so, so sad. And if anyone's been watching the news, or if you haven't been watching the news, you should definitely check in and see the destruction that's happening. I mean, New Orleans got annihilated down in like Grand Isle and down in like, you know, the South Lafourche parishes. They're all really, really devastated. So I'm going to start looking into ways that we can help, because it always just kills me to see it. They're still sort of unraveling even what the damage is, but I know there's like a million people without power. And if you know anything about Louisiana in fucking August, I mean, it is hot. So I'm just like really feeling for everyone down there and wanting to help how we can. So keep updated on my Instagram. I'm at Velvet's Edge, but I am going to be posting different ways that we can help the people down in Louisiana. We just had a really bad flood in Nashville too. And it's just like, I swear to God, I'm like, is the world being wiped out right now? I feel like we need to build an ark or something with between fires and earthquakes and hurricanes. Yeah. It's like, what in the world has happened? COVID? Like,
yeah, I'm sure the middle of the ocean's nice and calm right now too.
You know? My God. Right. It's like, literally, is the universe just trying to start over? Because maybe they're like, this population is too destructive and they, you know, they're too far gone. We can't help.
Yeah.
Them. Let's just wipe them out.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a little bit of what is happening. You know, the overpopulation and misuse of the earth is causing it. So.
And I definitely feel, if anyone is into astrology like I am, well, there was the new moon podcast up this week, but also if you talk to any astrologer or energy reader, they're talking about like the ways the planets are aligned, and we're moving into the age of Aquarius, excuse me, which is a totally different vibe than what we've been living in. And so they are saying that some significant shifts in the way things are done, the way things are run, the way we live, the way we eat food, the way we grow food, it's all going to change in the next couple of years. So, shall be interesting to see. Hold on to your horses.
Well, I mean, mine, I guess, is the funny transition is that, I've decided next week, tomorrow, I am leaving for a place called OnSite, which is like a mental health facility that helps people, you know, sort of work through trauma or, you know, addiction, anger, those sorts of things. But I'm doing a special session for the music industry that's like dealing with the effects of COVID and how we've, you know, it's affected our lives over the last year and a half. It's being held by Music Cares, which is one of the charitable ends of the Grammy Association. And I was offered a scholarship to go. So I'm really excited about it, really scared about it. Because I
have
I mean, look, in the same way that like you're nervous about going to camp, you know, like I don't know who else is going. Surely I'll probably know some people. I'll have a roommate. I don't know who that is until I get there. But I think one of the scariest parts is that like, it's a digital detox, like from like 1:30 PM tomorrow till about 1 o'clock on Saturday, I will not have access to my phone. I will not have access to the internet. I will not have access to email. And what I do for a living requires that I have access to those things. And it's, you know, every day is different in what I do. So it's, you know, I can't anticipate, you know, what I won't be available for. And right. there are certain things that I know that I'm missing that I'm trying to get as buttoned up as possible before I disappear, which is just stressful. So if I sound a little stressed, that's why, because it just feels like the clock is ticking and my morning got off to a rough start. So
Yeah. I'm so excited to hear about it next week. We'll obviously update you guys, but the digital detox is interesting because as you were saying that, I was like, God, that sounds amazing to shut down for 4 days. But I also do know that when I've done stuff like that, it is one of the most stressful parts of all of it. And we're all so addicted. And so you don't realize even the nervous tick that comes with just like picking up your phone and like opening an app or the small things that you just don't think about that are so subconscious that we're doing constantly in our lives. Well, and it's a control thing, right? Like it's totally. Like, oh my God, what am I going to miss?
Yeah. I mean, I know in the end that is going to be one of the greatest benefits of doing this is like sure. just connecting from all of that stuff. But I'm also like, as positive a person as I am, I often think about worst case scenarios so that I'm prepared. So of course I'm sitting in this place right now where it's like, oh my God, everything's going to hit the fan while I'm gone and I'm going to feel guilty and I'm going to feel, you know, it's, but I'm not going to know until it's over anyway. So.
Right. And the other thing to think about is it's interesting when we remove ourselves from certain scenarios, not that you are not invaluable to the systems that you work in, but people do figure out more stuff than we anticipate that they can, right? Like they figure Absolutely. Out how to fix stuff that we would just go sleep in and fix usually. And it's like, oh, they can actually function to some capacity. I'm like overperforming all the time and I don't need to be.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an interesting practice. Well, we're so excited, or I'm so excited, I should say. And I'm sure any of the listeners who have ever done any of this kind of work will be really excited to hear your feedback next week.
Yeah. I can't wait.
I mean, especially because of the weekend we had, I can understand why the last 2 days have been stressful. We were out of town from Thursday through Sunday night, essentially, at a bachelorette party that we mentioned last week. That was a blast. Did you have fun? I had so much fun.
Yeah, it was totally fun.
You were the only boy.
I was the only guy, yeah. it was my first, I think it was my first bachelorette party. I don't think I've ever been to a bachelorette party.
What was your favorite part of the whole weekend?
My favorite part of the whole weekend. I don't know. I, you know, it's funny because I feel like I liked the most chill parts where mm-hmm. like we got to sort of like sit and talk with people that we didn't know that well, you know, like,
yeah.
I also, you know, I loved watching Cree, who, is one of the bridesmaids, step into the role that like of taking care of everybody. Like she, so the bride's sister was supposed to be there and was overseeing the whole process and running the show. And at the last minute she had a personal emergency and wasn't able to come and had to pass the baton, to another bridesmaid. And it was just like lovely to see somebody just sort of step into that role and own that. And I really liked that. I mean, it sounds like such an adult, weird answer for me.
I know what you mean that. Well, first of all, he's talking about Cree Harrison. She's also been on the podcast. If people know who she is, she was on American Idol many years ago. She's just a beautiful person. She has survived herself so much of life. And she is such a warming, motherly figure, wouldn't you say? Like,
God, and so calm about everything.
Oh my God, I had never seen that version of her. And after I did the podcast with her, I had the experience of just the love that she kind of ruminates all the time. Like, she just sends out that vibe, you know? But like, or emanates. Did I say the wrong word?
Yeah. Yeah, ruminates is thinking on.
Why didn't you stop me?
I don't know.
You were just.
I just like to see you use big words wrong, you know.
You love to use big words, and I'm like, what? that's Louisiana coming out, I guess. anyway, so she just does have so much love to offer, and she was such a good host. I mean, there was not. I have this in some of my notes I want to talk about in a second, but like, I couldn't have even thought of anything to do to help because she already had done it. Like, it was like over the top. Everything was prepared. She had decorations and thoughtful little like gifts. And a lot of that was Elise's sister as well. They just really killed it. I was so impressed with the way that they know how to like accommodate that many people, throw a party, keep it moving, keep everybody's energy up, and just the whole vibe of it was so impressive to me. I don't have that gene, you know?
Yeah, it was funny. Our friend Allison was there and she was like, this is an example of why I could never do one of these things. Like decorations, who would have thought of that? You know? Right. And it's true. Like it never even occurred to me that there would be decorations, because to me, it's just about the getting together. And I think too, like some of the bachelor parties, and granted, I've only been a bachelor party, so maybe that's why I wasn't even thinking about that. But like, they're usually like a destination in a hotel. And this, we were all in a house together. So it was like, everything was sort of one sort of centralized thing, which in hindsight, obviously decorations then make a lot of sense.
Right. Well, and Creed drove. If you'd all flown, that would have been really hard.
Right, but right.
She drove, so she could run stuff down. Anyway, it was just really well thought out. Our friend Elise is getting married next month, and she is a wild child, but one of the most fun, funny people that I've ever met in my entire life. I love being around her, and we're just so happy for her. But it was interesting because I have probably been out of the bachelorette party game for, I don't know, 10 years. I mean, I literally was like, oh my God, when are you too old to go to bachelorette parties? Like, but it kind of made me start thinking, because we deal with it so much in Nashville, and you and I bitch about it all the time, right? We're just like, ugh, don't go downtown. It's just a bunch of bachelorette parties. But it's kind of brought up the topic of like do's and don'ts of bachelorette and bachelor parties, because one of what we deal with in Nashville, but two, we just lived one. And I felt like it brought up a couple topics that I was like, okay, that's a really good thing to do. Ooh, maybe not that though. That was not so great. My first one, I have a list. Should I just go through the list?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. You interject if you have some. Also, I want to mention that my favorite night was the 90s theme night. So if you're throwing a bachelorette party, a really good thing to do is have a little theme night. We stayed in, but it was such a blast to like dress up ridiculously. You dressed up as Monica Lewinsky.
I was Monica Lewinsky and Allison was Bill Clinton.
It was an insane costume. I need to post that in my feed so it can live there forever, because you guys really nailed it. I just went straight like Kelly Kapowski, airbrush t-shirt, biking shorts vibe. And so it was fine, but I didn't really realize people were going to go so above and beyond with their costumes. The next time I know to really, really go for it. You guys were like super quiet about it too. Like there was all these things.
We wanted to sort of just nail it. So we didn't tell anybody what we were going to be beforehand.
So Chip wore this blue dress and he took toothpaste and made it look like a cum stain, which is just, I mean, and then Bill was like, you know, walking with her everywhere. So
had her cigar and saxophone.
Right. It was really classic. Poor Monica Lewinsky. We've talked about this before. I mean, she was canceled before cancel culture even existed.
100%. But now there's a TV show coming called Impeachment.
Good for her. I hope that she, I mean, because that's really sad. She was so young and it's like, God, that's hard.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that ties into one of my don'ts. I'll just transition that way. Like, you know, when you see bachelorette parties out around town, this happens a lot in Nashville, like the matching t-shirts. And then one of them says like bride, or they have like all these like matching shirts with silly, like, you know, team, whatever, I don't know, bridal party stuff on it. I find that to be extremely cheesy and personally like kind of offensive. I just don't like it.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why it's necessary to remove everyone's individuality from a situation.
Yeah. I think it kind of goes into like, you're trying to make it all about the bride, but like, right. Like all of a sudden nobody has a personality or an opinion about what they wear anymore. You're just like the bride's party.
Right. Right.
That's why our costume situation was so perfect, because everyone could use their own creativity and kind of express themselves that way.
Yeah.
We also didn't leave the house, like I said. So it's like, as funny as it was for us, it wasn't like super obnoxious to other people. And I don't know, for some reason that seems a little bit better to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, we did have, we had a catered dinner. So the people must've been like, what the hell is going on here?
But, yeah. They were like along for the ride.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would just say, if you're going to do costumes, like, let everyone be an individual. Just because it's a bachelorette party or a bachelor party, like you said, you don't need to lose your identity.
Exactly.
Okay, this is an interesting one that you kind of headed up. Do you split the cost? Do you want to talk through that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that these things do tend to get expensive. And, you know, first of all, the golden rule is, like, to never let the bachelor or the bachelorette pay for anything. Right. And, you know, we just kind of had this understanding that everyone was going to, you know, just split everything evenly. There's an app that I use called Splitwise, which is amazing because you can basically go in, add everyone's information, you know, their phone number, their email, and then it just tracks. Like, you know, if I went in and bought something that was $107 or whatever, I can put it in and I can say, like, split it equally across everybody. Or if it was just something that Kelly and I wanted and no one else wanted, then I can split it equally just between me and Kelly. And then at the end of the, and then if Kelly goes in, she can give me a receipt and say, I paid for this. These are the people that are in on it. And at the end of the trip, it sends a text or an email out to everybody and says, this is what you owe this person. This is what you owe this person. It does all the math for you. And it's amazing. So, I just think it's, a lot of money gets spent, but it's in the end, it's like, once you amortize it across everybody, it doesn't seem like a ton. And you know, I think it's just the fair way to go about it.
Yeah. I mean, you and I talked about it, like, that would have been like, you know, Cree did so much of the pre-planning and Rebecca, her sister, and they would have been out a lot of money. Whereas, like, when we split it between all of us, it doesn't end up adding up to that much. And so it's like, why should one person just carry the weight of all that? I just don't think that that's fair. So even if you're in the bridal party, the maid of honor, I mean, I know there's other stuff they have to be responsible for too. So I do think it was really helpful to us to just split. And that app sounded so confusing to me at first, but then once you started plugging it in, I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the next one I said was, do help clean and take, like, if you're staying at a house, do help clean and take responsibility of the house so not one person is doing everything. And this was tough because, like we said, Cree was so on top of everything that a lot of it was done. Or that last day I told you, I was like moving slow in the morning and I tried to go downstairs and our friend Courtney was like, I think it's pretty much taken care of. Like, I completely missed the, like, checkout cleanup downstairs and I felt so bad. But I think that that's important that everybody does something and then it flies by. It's the same thing as splitting it. It's like, it's not that big of a deal when you're splitting it up. But if you leave it on one person, one, they can't enjoy their time. Like, I was kind of worried about Cree with that a couple times because she had so much responsibility. I was like, is she even able to relax? Whereas, like, if we could all just pick up parts of it and part of the responsibility, it's really not that big of a deal.
Right. I, you know, it's funny because I feel like it showed a side of her personality that, like, she was more relaxed dealing with those things than sitting down on the beach.
That's so true.
You know, like, and then she later revealed that she doesn't really like the beach anyway. She prefers a pool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think, it's some people show up and they hear the word bachelorette. Some people hear the word party and that's all they want is the party.
Yeah.
And that's fair. I think what something that's really interesting is that it is often people that are from various times in the person who's being celebrated's
yes.
life. So you have a lot of people that don't know each other,
which
causes like a weird, it can cause like a weird friction. It also makes it really hard to move as a group because it's like herding cats.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And you don't know people's personalities and what they like and they don't like. And
well, and like you said, they're from different times in this person's life. So like we all had different experiences and, like, you know, obviously her college friends experienced her. Well, maybe not with Elise. I was going to say in a different way than we do, but maybe not.
Right.
But like we experience her in a work world a lot because she does PR in the industry. And so like there's different dynamics to that, you know? And so everyone has different stories and different relationships. And sometimes it can, like, some people can be kind of territorial. Like, I've known this person the longest. I feel like we were really lucky as a group. Everybody got along.
Yeah.
It was odd. Even the mixing of the different time periods, like everybody was pretty chill and just like down to get to know each other and have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. this was a definitely, this was a great group. And I think, look, Elise is such a big personality that, like, I feel like anyone who has stuck with her through whatever sort of area of her life or, you know, years of her life, there's probably a bit of a through line with their personalities.
Totally.
Too.
That's true.
Where it's not, you know, she's not like a meek person that might have like one really big personality in her friend group and everyone else is like really mousy and quiet, you know? Everyone sort of had a fairly big personality, which was really fun.
Yeah, it was a good balance.
Yeah.
Do include everyone. That kind of goes in line with that. I do think, especially with girls, things can get a little clicky. Mm-hmm. But again, I felt like other than us sharing a car, so we had four people with us, and so we kind of would end up segregated in our car situation. But other than that, I felt like everyone pretty much mixed around. And I think that's important. It's like, branch out, go meet the other girls, like spend time with everyone. Don't let anyone feel like they're not a part of something because they haven't known. Like, she had that one friend from high school, and then everyone else is either college or grown up. And so, you know, Alex could have felt isolated, I think, ultimately, but I don't think that she did, because I think everyone was just really inclusive, and that just makes for such a better vibe.
Totally. Yeah. But you also, I think you have to be prepared for some people not to get along,
yeah,
and that to be okay, you know, like,
that's true.
But I think it's also like important to remember that you're there honoring, you know, either the bride or the groom.
Yeah.
And just to put your bullshit aside for the weekend. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to like be best friends with everyone when you leave, but like, if there's somebody that you don't rub with,
it's no big deal.
Yeah. Just stay away from them.
Yeah. Okay. So you brought up when we were down there, because we did like gag gifts the first night. And so Elise got things like cock rings and dildos and, you know, the typical bachelorette stuff. But you were like, when did it get okay for it just to be so much about penises? Like literally, because she was, you know, having a good time and brought her dildo to the restaurant we went to have dinner at. And you were just dying laughing. Like, what in the world? Like, why is this the thing of bachelorettes? And I think that brings up a lot of topics. Like, why is that the thing? And then I also was like, you know, there's such the thing of like the last bash, or we called it the last splash. And it's just like, why are we getting married and then like mourning that commitment almost? Like, is there a world where we can reframe things like this as like a huge celebration, and like, you're her girlfriends, and so you want to celebrate how beautiful this is, that these two people who love each other have decided to commit to each other in this capacity. Like, I think it's so amazing. But it kind of goes back to our programming of the feeling of, we have to get married. You know, like, that's the key to a success, or the sign of a successful relationship, is if you get married. And I'm just wondering if that's going to start shifting as our programming in society is sort of starting to shift to like, hey, maybe that's not for everybody. And so like, the marriage becomes more of a choice. And so maybe we're not mourning this as like the last bash, but also, but you know, kind of like celebrating it instead.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, or the last penis she's ever going to see, or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
It's so weird to me. Like, it's like this weird license to just act like a fucking asshole.
Oh my God. It's so true. Like, would you ever bring a dildo to a restaurant in any other occasion? Like, I didn't even think about it until you said it. That's how messed up it is. Like,
yeah, I just don't understand like the need for it to be like embarrassing or crass. You know, it's like the penis straws and the penis decorations and the inflatable penises. And we see it all in Nashville. I mean,
riding a golden penis.
Yeah, we see the worst of it in Nashville. So it's like, I don't know, like at the end of the day, like, I feel like it's just embarrassing, you know?
Yeah, I hear that.
And from the bride's perspective, look, we all know Elise, like this particular weekend was, we know Elise, and she's just gonna like have a rip roaring time wherever she goes. I don't think embarrassment even plays into her, like that's not an emotion that she feels.
I agree with that.
I don't understand the benefit of trying to embarrass somebody.
Yeah,
Make it awkward, you know? Like, some brides to be are like virgins. You know what I mean?
Or shy about it, or like quiet about their sex life. Yeah. I mean, so those are essentially maybe two different topics that I just brought up. So it's one, as you're talking about the embarrassment factor and why it just has to be so vile and over the top and just like crass and all of those parts of it. And that is the assumption, right? Like anytime someone's like, oh, a bachelor party or a bachelorette party, like it's going to be wild. You just know that that's like the theme.
Yeah. It's about reckless abandon. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fun. And I mean, I think it is like, yes, go out and have a blast with your friends for, you know, a trip that does get a little harder. Maybe when you're, you know, have a husband or a wife and you have kids, like it just gets harder to get people together. But like you said, why is it this, like, this is the last hoorah, let's go balls to the wall or dildos to the table or whatever. I mean,
right.
Why does it have to be like that? And why isn't it more just like, what an amazing thing that we can do to celebrate with each other and celebrate this love that you guys have and this commitment that you're making. I guess that's more the wedding that I'm talking about.
Yeah. But I still think like embarrassing the bride just doesn't make any sense to me. You know,
the themes of bachelor and bachelorette parties are just a little bit, maybe they're a little outdated. We need to like reprogram some stuff.
Right. I thought it was, we played a game. Mm-hmm. And sorry if I'm getting ahead of myself here, but we played a game of like to kind of see who knew
at least the best.
And I thought that was cool, you know.
And
funny enough, it was her coworker.
Oh yeah.
It was Courtney. Yeah.
Yeah, but they spend
so much time together.
So much time together. Right. So she like knows her day in and day out now too. You know, I just think that's interesting. Well, when it comes to the big theme of the bachelor, bachelor party, you also told me an interesting statistic about bachelor parties that I actually found very sad.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah. So I found, it's a little dated, but still, you know, I don't know that the world has changed that much. It's from 2014, and it's a story from Men's Health that says 1/3 of all grooms to be cheat at their bachelor parties, according to a recent British survey and two independent sex experts we interviewed.
That makes me so sad. Like, if you're cheating right before you get married like that, you might need to rethink this wedding.
Yeah.
Is that just a person? Like, is that just my own opinion, or do you feel that way?
It's like, yeah, absolutely. Like, it's just not the way you want to start off any sort of commitment.
But it's not as if you haven't already been in a long-term or somewhat long-term serious relationship if you're to the point of getting married.
Absolutely.
So like what, you cheat all of a sudden in the middle of a long-term relationship and then an even more serious commitment. And then what, you're going to flip the switch when you actually get married. I don't really know. I don't get that mentality.
Well, I also think it's, it has to do with more of the idea and what we're told these events need to be. I mean, in this article it says Las Vegas limo driver Jenny G came up with a similar estimate based on not only hearing her passengers brag, but also on the commissions that she earns whenever they ask her to order an escort to their room, because she also occasionally sees it. I have my partition deactivated, Jenny says. It's always funny. They'll put the girl in the middle seat, in the middle of the back seat, and they'll try to straddle her doggy style. Every time the car moves and turns a corner, one of them ends up falling over and banging their heads on the window because there's no footing. It's just not enough room. So, you know, she says, incidentally, Jenny says bachelors are pussycats compared to their best men, who she says have sex 90% of the time.
I mean, I could see that.
Yeah.
Which that's like, I mean, who knows? They could be single, you know? And so it's just like a huge throwdown party, like we're saying, but.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's probably different between bachelors and bachelorettes, because I do think when you put that many guys together, the testosterone sort of like, it becomes a competition.
And you're just like chasing girls. That's what
100%. Yeah.
A bunch of dudes seem to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we barely left the house. Also, it is COVID. So I think that probably played into it a little bit, but we didn't like go out. We went to dinner one night, but the rest of the time we were on the beach or just at the house. And we had so many of our own activities and we're just having so much fun together. That was perfect. Like, I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty chill. Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, I I didn't go into it thinking like, let's go down there and meet a bunch of new people. Like, right. other than the people that we didn't know that we were going to be meeting at the wedding anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, maybe it's because I'm 45 years old that I didn't feel like raging, but,
well, you're like, no need for new friends. Okay?
Right. Plus it's like, you know, I think we also chose a place that like speaks to the idea of it being more relaxing than like going to Vegas.
Oh my God.
Or going to Cancun or right. somewhere that's like, it is meant to be,
party place, rocket. Miami, yeah. like those yeah. kind of things. Yeah. I mean, right. I guess that was just more our vibe. And especially in the pandemic, it's like, okay.
Right.
No, thanks. All right. The last one I have, and maybe you have some other ones you want to add to the list, but I said, don't forget about yourself. And like, this is from past experience when I was younger and got super burnt out with all my friends getting married all at the same time. And there was like this rush of everyone getting pregnant. And so if you're the single person or the person who doesn't get married or have kids, you end up like overextending yourself multiple times for all these people and all the parties and like all the requirements of these kind of things. And if you don't consider yourself within the process, I found myself to start getting resentful or like, ugh, another wedding, another bachelorette, another baby shower. And that's not really how I want to feel with any of my friends, but it goes back to that same saying of just like, if you don't fill up your own cup first, you have nothing to give. And so like, there was a couple mornings where I knew everybody was up, you know, early, or like a couple nights you and I went to bed earlier than everyone else. And like, I in the past probably wouldn't have done that just to be like appeasing of the group. But I knew if I was going to function at all, then I needed to get sleep. Like, that's just what I need. And especially I had had a really long week the week before. And so I just did it. And I actually think that it ended up putting me in a better place to be able to like do the fun parts with everybody or participate in a fun, loving way versus like a tired, like burnt out, I don't want to do this activity. You know, I wanted to do everything I did. And so I think that makes for a much better energy to bring
absolutely,
to the table.
Absolutely, yes.
So you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good one. Susan will love that answer.
Susan.
Oh my God. Well, I can tell that you are just a little bit anxious about your day and really getting him. He's like, get me the fuck off this recording. I've got to go to on-site, people.
It's time for rehab, baby.
I mean, I used to make the joke every time, this isn't a joke, but when Britney Spears would be like taking 30 days for her mental health, I'm like, I want to fucking do that. Like, I want to go to Malibu and shut my phone down and take 30 days because I have anxiety, because I do.
Yeah, I mean,
in some ways, celebrities like that are lucky yeah. for that.
Well, because they can, you know, at that level, you can afford to take a break.
And you can be like, hey, I'm going to rehab.
Right.
And your manager can handle shit, you yeah, know?
Totally.
You're like, no, I'm the manager, so it's a little bit hard.
Right.
All right, let's get to listener emails so Chip can go about his day. This is from last week. We were talking about how much we love Breland, this new artist. He's in country music, but kind of all genres, honestly. He's so amazing. He's been on the road with Dierks. And so this girl said, hi, I'm listening to your newest podcast chat about Breland and Dierks. Don't get me wrong, I love me some Dierks, but I'm also obsessed with Parker McCollum's music, and that's what got me to that concert. Oh my God, best concert ever. Dierks was amazing, and Breland was so good. I would definitely go see them again. Basically writing to say that I agree with you and Chip. Heard it here first.
There you
people.
Go. There you go.
Breland's going to be a huge star.
And I think Parker is too.
Yeah, Parker's going to yeah. be a big star too. All the guys, I'm literally Hot Guys Tour, and it is like some of the best up and coming talent, I feel like. Because Riley's going to be huge too. Riley Green.
Yeah, absolutely.
The ladies love Riley. That is like my most fun thing to watch at the shows is watch the girls literally almost pee in their pants when he walks by.
not just the ladies.
Oh, you too?
Well, maybe. Maybe a little.
Maybe a little. This one is in reference to another podcast I did on the Velvet side of things about grief. She said, thank you so much for creating space for such meaningful conversations and also setting the tone for my weekend every Friday with Chip. We like to keep it casual. keep it fun for you guys.
Yeah. Look, and I know it's been a little heavy. Over the last, like, probably a few months, because the world has been dealing with some dark shit. And, I mean, look, we even experienced it this weekend where,
tell this story.
There was just some back and forth on Instagram, and it's like, you know, we're not this podcast in particular, we're not in the business of trying to talk about the heavy stuff. Although, like, it creeps in because it's just the world that we live in. And, you know, we do ask for feedback. And I think it's important for people to be able to talk whatever they, you know, whatever they want to talk about with us. And I'm always open to a dialogue. But when people say what we're talking about isn't important and points out what is, I don't think that's constructive. I just think that's like comparing apples and oranges. And by saying, by us talking about one thing doesn't mean that something else isn't important, you know, but it's like, we can't, and you know, we're choosing to talk about sort of the lighter side of things, because everywhere else we turn is the heavy shit. So,
You and I constantly are saying, like, we feel stupid trying to bring up whatever, you know, dumb, weird sex and dating story or whatever, when there's real shit happening. I mean, we said that in the last episode. I was like, look at the world. I mean, I started the episode this week saying the same thing. It's like, there's so many things happening. I can't even like begin to talk about all of them, because it's literally everywhere you turn, it feels like there is another crisis happening of some sort. And so I feel like you and I both have the same motivation to do the best that we can to be informed and to talk about things when we do have things to say that we feel like could be productive for the conversation, and to also mention it and not live under a fucking rock. Like, this isn't happening. Like, Afghanistan's not happening. No, that's definitely not how we live. And we want to start people's Friday mornings off and try to have as much fun as we can and keep it light, because it is so fucking heavy right now. Like, I mean, there's many days in the last 2 years where I just have not even wanted to get out of bed. It's so dark. And so if we can help each other out with bringing any sort of positivity to each other, I think we should.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And, you know, I think, you know, what made me angry about that, and, you know, I try not to like fight ever, was just that it seemed like it was just like picking for the sake of picking. And it felt like a non sequitur, if that is the right word. Like, it's just like, oh yeah, well, that doesn't matter. This is what matters.
Well, what he's referencing is I posted about our podcast last week about the OnlyFans topic and said, what do you guys think? And somebody wrote back and said, we need to be thinking about our troops, not OnlyFans. And I would never try to say that OnlyFans topic is more important. It is also relevant. Like, the sexual stuff happening in our culture is also a relevant topic, if you ask me. And there's a lot of dangerous things happening with that too. And things that I want to discuss. And so we're not saying one cancels the other out. We're also not a political podcast. So we do the best we can to balance topical situations and pay honor to the things happening, like I said. But you said you actually really got fired up because you were like, this is just a shit stir. She's like literally just trying to come at you. And I mean, nobody go to my Instagram and mess with me, because I got some backup with Chip Dorsch. That's well, when you know I mean, who your real well, friends are.
But I also just think it's like it's a dangerous slippery slope too, because it's like, of course our troops are important. Of course what's happening in Afghanistan is important.
Absolutely.
But, you know, so are the livelihoods of people in America. So are, you know, you know, more people died in Florida last week of COVID than in Afghanistan. And it's like, it's all apples and oranges, you know? It's all something that's really important, and it's all weighing very heavily on our hearts. So
right. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, like, the reason why it made me angry is because we're trying to like bring some lighter news into the world, just to have someone be like, but focus on the darkness, you know, like, and that's like, I would much rather leave that to somebody who is more educated on that and has a stronger opinion on it. It doesn't mean that we don't care about those things.
Well, and I think it's so tough right now because it feels like no matter what you do, even if you have good intentions and you're trying your best, someone is going to try to find fault with it, which is sort of what you were feeling from this one listener, was that it was just like, she just wanted to pick. And then like, come on, dude, like we are trying. Actually, we've been talking a ton about the vaccine for this exact reason. That was very difficult for some reason for me to decide to do because of this kind of shit. Like I felt like, God, I've been through the fucking ringer the past, like since my reality TV debacle, honestly, and being accused of something I didn't do. I'm so scared to say anything nowadays. It's like,
yeah, totally.
Even when I'm trying to help, like, it's just, I think that we all have to try to give each other a little bit of grace and really pay attention to what's actually being said and done versus what you assume to be true about someone or their mentality.
So, right. Right.
Anyway, this comes from Andrea. She said, where's C? I was posting about being hungover in bed this weekend. And she wrote, she knew you were with me. And so she wrote in the message, where's C-H-I-P-D-O-R-C-H. The people love that just as much as I do.
Oh, little sing song for everybody on a Friday.
This comes from Brooke. She said, I DM you a lot and I've realized, but you and Chip are my outlet weekly. I just wanted to let y'all know I'm vaccinated, got mine in March, and currently have COVID. It's kicking my ass. Not only that, but I have the emotional bullshit of COVID and cry constantly. Did you face that? That was, to me, I told you, the hardest part of having COVID. I did have some tough physical symptoms for a couple days, but then even when those have passed, the hardest part for me was the isolation, because you're just literally, people act like, oh, this is, I had it a year ago, so it's gotten a little less, but like people act like you have the Black Plague and you cannot see anyone. And it's so sad and isolating.
Yeah, no, I mean, it really is. And it's like, you feel like you have the Black Plague, you know, because of the way that people react. Yeah. And I think it's just because there's so much varying information out there and people are just scared. So,
well, and like, you don't really know day to day how you're going to feel with COVID, which is scary, right? Like, it's like, you hear these stories of someone who was fine and then 7 days in, it just took a turn for the worse. And so I think the unpredictability of the virus itself is already very, like, causes a lot of fear. And then when you can't have your loved one next to you, like holding you, or you can't see anybody, it can just be super emotional. So I think just to let you know, that is totally normal. And I hope that at this point you're feeling a lot better and, you know, maybe able to see some people. I think FaceTime was a really helpful thing for me during that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you can FaceTime friends, do it and find a good show. Pass the time. This one comes from Deanne. She said, I just listened to the podcast. It has someone, this is from last week's topic of the OnlyFans. As someone who feels like a side chick to Pornhub, I'm saddened by the news that OnlyFans has retracted their non-porn only statement. To my knowledge, my BF isn't a subscriber, but I have so many thoughts running wild in my head after that podcast. I'm about to get real vulnerable. Sorry, I was never against porn per se. I do think it's always gave men unreasonable expectations of women. I believe it made women doubt their bodies, but it has gone beyond that now. Now it's about human trafficking. It's been reported that Pornhub is a big part of that. That I'm against. I think porn is too available and it's affecting a lot of relationships, mine included. So many layers. My boyfriend got heavy into porn when he was married for 20 years and his wife quit having sex with him after the kids. I'm glad he chose that over cheating, but the definition of cheating does include getting sexual satisfaction from someone other than your significant other. But now I'm the one who is trying to quote unquote fix him. There are so many red flags, but they came up after I was in too deep. Let me just say he doesn't think he has a problem, but when his hand is getting more action than me, there's a problem in my opinion. How much porn or masturbation is too much? I don't know. We don't talk about it much because it's a source of contention. Everything your guest, the doctor, in your previous podcast said was spot on. The desensitization, God, that word is hard, The always wanted to take it a step further, losing their erection because they were bored. Sorry, but a cannonball-sized dildo is not going up my ass. Don't blame you, DM. Like you, I have so many mixed feelings. I like your honesty about your feelings on the single moms on OnlyFans and how you can't decide if it's ick or the or an honest living. But what are her kids going to think of her when they find out she plays with herself on videos for money? Will the kids need therapy? Their friends will see their naked mom. I didn't think about that aspect.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think there's a lot to unpack. Like, I think about that all the time, that these people have families and...
Yeah. I've always wondered that about porn stars, because a lot of times you'll see them with like their significant other. And I'm like, God, that's so interesting to me. They're just okay with them having sex with other people all the time. Like, I just am curious what that conversation goes like.
Well, you know, I actually had a friend that was a gay porn star for a while. He was in it for a few years.
Yeah.
And I mean, he basically said to me, he was like, the sets are so sterile that it's not passionate in any way, you know, like,
yeah,
you're having to reshoot things all the time. Like, it's not as fun as they make it seem, you know? So he's like, the emotional side of it is removed. So it really is just a physical act.
Okay.
I don't know if that's easy for a partner to understand.
I guess that, I mean, that's obviously something you have to disclose at the beginning of your relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was going to say that kind of in reference to Deanne's conversation, you know, she was like, how much is too much? And these are conversations that, I mean, I have literally dealt with the same thing. And I have in my past history of dating someone with porn addiction. And that was really, really affected my sexual life for a long time because it was like very traumatizing to me. And there's a lot of stuff that comes with the addiction aspect of this. And so I think that that's a really great question. And I think it goes back to what that doctor said to us, or that therapist we had on, David Yerian. It's like, the issue isn't necessarily how much or what's too much or anything like that. It's that you and your partner are able to have an open conversation and like kind of agree on what works for both of you. And so if your partner's unwilling to listen or be honest or compromise or communicate, like that's where the issue comes in, you know, right, not necessarily like, I don't know, some people might be okay with their partner watching porn every day, you know?
And totally, yeah.
It's just different for every relationship. Like, it's definitely a topic I'm much more sensitive to because of my history. So I have to be with a partner who can communicate about that and openly, you know, be open to discussion or open to working with me on figuring out what works for us.
Yeah. I don't think that I could, like, I don't think I could do it.
Do what?
I don't think that I could have a partner that is doing porn.
Oh, being like a porn star.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think that I could have a partner that was like watching it all the time either.
Right. Well, cause you would, I mean, for me, it's hard, like sex. And that's why I think sex addiction is such a tough one that we're just really starting to uncover in our society. But like, it's so hard not to take it personal, right? Like, why am I not enough kind of thing can pop in your head. Or like she said, it makes women like insecure about their bodies. And like, guys have like this unrealistic expectation of girls with big fake boobs, and not all porn stars are like that. Sorry, that was a generalization, but like, it's tough because that's their job, to be naked.
So yeah. Like,
it's sort of like a swimsuit model, you know, like as an everyday person, you don't want to really feel compared to that. And so if that's what's like becoming the standard in your partner's mind, that's tough.
Yeah.
That goes for men and women. Cause like the porn star guys have good bodies too.
Totally. Yeah. And they're all using like erection enhancement stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so that's where it's like, and like the girls in porn are always having an orgasm. Like, let me just tell you, no, they're not. Like, no, they're not. And you can tell by the way they're having sex when they fake it. Like, it's just like, I do think that we have to remember that it's entertainment, like Dr. Yerian said, and it's not reality. Much like social media.
Right.
Okay, the last one I want to read today is from Diane, and I posted a picture of you and I's matching airbrush t-shirts from this weekend.
Uh-huh.
Our beach theme airbrush t-shirt. She said, "Oh my God, so hilarious. 2 years ago, my son and I, he was 28, went away for a weekend and we drank, got tattoos, got airbrush t-shirts. Went to Dick's Last Resort. We lived it up. Looks like you and Chip are on the same trip. Love you guys. Chip is the shit. When was the last, when was the last time I called anybody the shit? LOL. But he is."
Oh my God. That made my day.
I know. I figured you might need that one before you go to rehab.
I wish we'd gone to Dick's Last. I've never been to Dick's Last.
What before. Is it? When she wrote that, I was like, what's that?
It's a chain where the waiters are rude to you.
Oh, that's right.
I thought we had one in Nashville on Second Avenue.
I think we used to, but also like, why does that sound fun?
Well, I think it's just funny, you know, like they're it looks like we, oh no, it's temporarily closed. It looks like it might've been damaged in the bomb.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
God, think about all the shit that's happened in Nashville, the tornado, then into the pandemic, then into a bomb. Like
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Telling you, we should start building that ark right now.
Just float on down the Cumberland.
Of all places to pick, that's where you're going to pick.
Right.
Oh, God. All right. Well, we know you got to get going, Chip, and we are wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Cannot wait to hear about it. I'm so proud of you. I just hope that it's the best experience ever.
I hope so too.
I'm
either going to come back like relaxed next week or like more stressed out than ever.
Totally neurotic.
Yeah.
Guess we'll see. It'll be really interesting for all of us. In the meantime, while Chip's away at on-site, you guys, I hope have a great rest of your week and into your weekend while you're living on the edge. That you always remember to
act casual.
Jesus. Okay. Bye.
Bye.